This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
Hi, folks. Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment brought to you by Ed Hansen's Muffler, where all your pipe dreams come true. Ed Hansen could do exhaust work on anything. I was over there the other day. Looks like a 46 Chevy dually with a camper on the back. I mean, this, I don't know how this thing goes down the freeway. Put a complete exhaust system on it. I wanted them to start it up, but they didn't have time. So check out Ed Hansen's Muffler, from exhaust tips to catalytic converters to mufflers. You name it, they got it. Give them a call, 619-698-7030. Tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. Hey, we got Ed Stoven and Jeff Jones in the house talking Lost Lizard Fun Run right around the corner. And I guess my first question is, have you locked in a KUSI date yet?
Oh, my God, not yet. That's a great point.
You better. Well, I've got this, so I'll send you some paperwork. Okay. And how many years will this be?
21 years of Lost Lizard.
Wow.
And the man to my left here was the guy who's behind it all.
Wow.
He was the thinker.
He was the Lost Lizard.
He's been the Lost Lizard many times, and he looks like one kind of, but...
I was going to say that. Yeah. Raffle prizes, food vendor, poker run, checkpoint prizes. Excuse me. And we are looking for checkpoint sponsors. And the cool thing about a checkpoint sponsor is all the sponsors try to outdo the other with games and tricks.
Exactly.
All kinds of fun stuff.
And cold snacks.
Yeah, you usually get some pretty cool stuff when you do it, besides the run itself. The other part, too, is your the raffle prize.
Yes.
I mean, your raffle prizes are ridiculous.
Average raffle prize last year was $500 and up.
Wow.
And that's general raffle prizes, also 30-something buckets. So
right.
30 buckets, kids raffle. This year we hope to do a women's raffle, get some makeup and perfume. I don't know. What are they using?
Well, we don't know what they want.
Maybe a day spa. Maybe a day spa for the women to go and get
a
complete spa.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go to a clothing, a little small boutique that'll, kick in a couple $100 for, a gift card for a woman to go down and pick out their own clothes. Because when we do it, it's a disaster.
Or pedicure, manicure.
Exactly.
Have you ever done that?
No.
I have. I've never.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I did it one time. Because I'm getting fat and I can't reach my toes, so I thought I'll just go in there and do it. Tickled the crap out of me.
Oh yeah.
I think about it every once in a while because it was good for guys.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, but then they try to sell me fingernails. I ain't doing
it. No fingernail polish?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I get it.
Not doing it.
No, I'm not doing that either.
But that's the cool thing about it. But I think what's really cool about the Lost Lizard Fun Run is because a lot of people buy a lot of off-road vehicles, especially during COVID, but they don't have any idea what to do with them.
Exactly.
They really, really don't. I mean, they know they have a Jeep, but they don't know what to do with the Jeep. And this is a good place, because how many different runs do you guys have from mile to wild?
This is our only big event.
No, I mean during the event. I mean, you could take a trail.
Yeah, well, there's a hard route, but there's the
main
route. There's the hard route, and then you can take a trip through Superstition Mountain up the
sand. So that's what I said. You got
mild to wild.
Like if you just bought your Jeep and you've never been off road with it, you definitely don't want to take the hard one.
No. You have to be able to drive.
Right.
You need to be able to go in sand.
Lower tire pressures.
Yeah, and a Jeep can do it. It's they can't. Like a stock Jeep wouldn't be happy.
Right, and the person driving it has really no confidence because they've never done it before. But you guys have people out there
Yeah, we have people helping. Right. I think a highly competent driver in a stock Jeep could probably get around.
Sure.
You'd have to just be on the gas, know what gear to be in, and really punch it.
Right. But this is why I like the Lost Lizard, is because it gives people that are new to the sport an opportunity to come out and really learn about whatever it is, you know, they own, whether it be a Chevy or a Ford or a Dodge or a Toyota.
Subarus,
yeah. Yes.
We've had a couple.
I just seen a Crosstrek on Bring a Trailer that's got a 5.0 Ford V8 in it, dual overhead cam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Had to have a small car. 37-inch tire and wheel package. Thing is totally lifted up. Winches on the front.
That's not a Subaru anymore.
No. But remember those? Those were
That's a lot of fun.
Look, a spacey-looking little thing. I liked them.
I don't remember them.
Yeah, it's like a little rally car kind of little.
Yeah.
So the great part about running the Lost Lizard is that you're driving on a route that's well marked. So you're going through the desert. You're going to the places that we take you, right? So you see the hills and the dry lake, and you see all the stuff, and you just go from ribbon to ribbon, and it's really easy to navigate. You just follow the tire tracks. You can always see one marker from the next marker. So if you're sitting next to a marker, you can see the one coming up. So you never get lost.
And the checkpoints are spaced probably every 2 miles?
Yeah, maybe a little more. Yeah. And it varies. And the checkpoints, they're just a lot of fun. You drive along, and then there's a crowd, and you pull over, and you get out, and you participate, right? You get your playing card. Maybe you're going to get a full house or a, you know, some kind of good poker hand, and then you play the game. In addition to that, sometimes they'll give you ices, like Otter Pop.
Yes.
Do you remember? I had a couple.
Wings out there.
And, I had the green one.
The Otter Pops.
And then that guy had his Cybertruck, and his side gig is he was he's a DJ, and he brought all his equipment. He was playing music, and with all the electricity from the Cybertruck, it was really loud and really clear. And he was a little bit of ways away, so it wasn't like too distracting, but it just sounded wonderful. They got the best checkpoint award. That was from was that Jeep hers?
Yes.
And the girl's husband had the Cybertruck. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. I was pleasantly surprised to find that way out in the desert.
Yes, it was a good trip, that one. This year we have 7 checkpoints and 1 crossover. Mm-hmm. And the checkpoints are Jeep hers again. They're going to be paired up with Megan's Legacy. And the next one's going to be Electric Union IBEW569.
And that's Desiree Bates' union. I went riding with her last weekend. Justin. Yeah, we went dual sport riding up in Ramona. Yeah.
And after that, we have San Diego Four Wheelers, Zebra Off-Road Adventures.
They do some crazy upgrades to vehicles. If you want to restore a vehicle or like make something like more capable,
they know how to do it.
They're a great place to go. Yeah,
Noah and Ben are the proprietors there. Good people to deal with, and they won't break your bank.
Yeah, that's true. They're absolutely true. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and everything out there, you know, not only will you see all of the you know, all the different items and the raffle, but every vendor there is knows everything there is to know about what it is they're selling. So you get a really good education out of it as well.
Let me plug the last one so I don't leave anybody out. We have MIT Scoonies.
Okay.
They're doing a checkpoint again.
Good.
Wonderful people again. Good to upgrade your drivetrain or your side-by-side.
So have you still got any checkpoints still available?
I'm trying to double them up now. So Tierra del Sol is the last one, and they're at base camp, and they're going to bring Off-Road Warehouse with them. Mm. So they'll do 2 games at that checkpoint. Okay. And then we also have San Diego Jeep Club.
Okay. Is Lifestyle Garage doing one?
No, they're not. Okay. They usually like to come out at this event and do it.
Right.
They donate great raffle prizes and some discount coupons. Mm-hmm. And, they come out, and as soon as they close shop, they beat feet out there on Saturday. And
you know what? People were disappointed in the fun run, which it's kind of interesting, is that the raffle took too long. We had too many prizes, and it just kept going on and on. and people were getting restless after an hour and a half.
Well, that's going to still happen.
So
too many raffle
like
prizes.
I'm sorry, we have so much stuff to give away, but there were some people that were a little bit annoyed with it.
Well, I remember last year we started on time, 5 o'clock.
We do start on time and we move right along, but there's just so much stuff. And so many, we had like 20 kids prizes.
Yes.
So, and then people are slow coming up to get their thing. Mm. So, we just manage it, but that's just the thing. And we're working on it. I think we'll have more people up in the front this year helping us. So when somebody wins, we hand the ticket to somebody and we can keep moving.
We're going to do the best we can as quick as we can, but right. We need to have that audience.
Yeah, that's what we need. Bring them out there. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more. SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Asmar Auto Care, Napa Auto Care, ASC Certified AAA Approved Shop, 8621 Troy Street in Spring Valley. Go to service@asmarcare.com, 619-589-1188. And if you're an off-roader and you're going out and you're doing a lot of off-roading, you bring your rig back and it's filthy, no better place to go than Asmar. Does a full-blown steam clean service. And I tell you what, they do it very, very professional. They'll take all, you won't have any dirt, grit, or grime in your driveway. They'll take it all. 619-589-1188. And Zebra Adventures. You really want to have some fun with your vehicle, but you're just not quite sure what to do with it? Take a run up to Miramar Road, 8286 Miramar Road. Go to @zebra_adventures1, and the guys up there will definitely blow you away. They're usually at all of the events, probably going to be at the Lost Lizard Fun Run, and I don't know if they're going to have a booth out there or not.
They're doing a checkpoint.
They're doing a checkpoint, so there's a good opportunity to check the guys out and thank them for supporting SDORC Dirt Radio. All right, we got Ed Stoven and Jeff Jones. We've been really talking about the Lost Lizard Fun Run. Now, it's not till November 7th, but we're still looking for raffle prizes. We're still looking for possibly checkpoint sponsors. And we definitely want to get a lot of people out there. Hopefully the weathers are going to be, you know, doable. But it's going to be a fun. If you have an off-road vehicle, you're even thinking about getting an off-road vehicle, this is a place to go because you'll have everybody out there that knows anything and everything there is to know.
Family fun for sure,
without a shadow.
Bring the kids,
and you're gonna have food.
We're gonna have food. We got barbecue and Mexican food.
Oh.
Besides, we have an ice cream guy. Cold. What is it now?
It'll come to me
in a minute.
But, oh, I know. It's just cold.
He gives big old cups of ice cream, and if you are wearing a uniform, military uniform or Boy Scout uniform, you get your ice cream for free.
Ooh, can't ask for
anything. Oh, rolling cones.
Rolling cones.
Right. That's
cool
right.
Name.
Yeah, that guy is a retired military, yes. And he has a lot of respect for the military and anyone in uniform. So a nurse's uniform, Cub Scout, anything like that.
That's excellent.
Bring that out there.
Nothing like a nice cold scoop of ice cream.
I know, on a hot. The weather has always been good for this event at this time of year. It's warm in the desert.
Did you jinx it?
Yeah. Maybe I have. Most but we've always. It's always been nice.
I was thinking the same thing. I go,
all right, yeah.
So you want to do a little bit of legal, and we'll go back to, we'll kind of bounce back and forth.
So we track legislation in the state and also the federal, but we really look at state legislation. And we're watching this bill very carefully, AB 1613. And this bill will require safety training for off-road vehicle users. So if you're going to be operating a green sticker vehicle out wherever in the desert, the mountains, if this bill passes and everything goes through, you will need to get safety training. And if it goes the way we expect, the training can be done online. It will take about 40 minutes, and you're likely to learn something. So the bill is right now, it's in between houses. So there's two houses in the state legislature. There's the Assembly and there's the Senate. And so the first half of the season, the bill stays in its house of origin. It goes through policy committees. And then if it passes through those committees, the whole body will vote on it. And then it will go to the other house. So the safety bill has made it through the committees. It has been passed by the Assembly. And now it's on its way to the Senate.
Nice.
So it's moving. And I'm fairly confident it's going to continue to move. It's something that a lot of people want. State Parks really wants it. All of the agencies, the government agencies that manage land that is used for off-road vehicles, they all want this.
Yes. Right? It is already in Oregon and Utah and Arizona. And correct. The Utah course is free, so if you want an idea of what happens when you take the safety course, take that one. Look it up and take it. It's just a few minutes of your life, and you learn a lot.
Will it be honored in other states? Like if you go, say, from here to Moab, as your shirt
I don't
says.
Think that it would
So there's a term for that. It's called reciprocity, and I don't know if we're going to have it. I don't think so.
They'd have to prove
other
that.
States have different laws, and I personally was pushing for reciprocity, like even if everything's not the same. So in Utah, you can have a side-by-side plated to go on the street, and you can, like in rural areas, you can use it. That's not the case in California.
Right.
And then Utah doesn't have a helmet law for the side-by-sides and the ATVs, and California does have a helmet law. So these guys are saying, well, they don't have the same law, so they shouldn't be able... They need to take our safety training. And I don't know. I don't think it's...
I wouldn't quibble about it. I just do it just to get it through and get it...
I agree. And like, it's not the hill that I die on, but I personally said we should have reciprocity. Even if the laws aren't the same, it's close enough.
They don't even do it with gun ownership.
Really?
If they can't do it with... You know, carrying a, you know, to having a concealed carry permit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Every state has it's to general. Have its its thing. So we're not gonna. I'm not gonna worry about it, and I don't think we're gonna have reciprocity, but that could be sorted out. So there is controversy, and I saw an email recently about one of the organizations was really happy with the progress of the bill. And then a couple of days later, they sent out another email and things weren't as happy. And did you see the one from Cal 4-Wheel? Did I send you that one?
I saw them both.
Okay, then they also had a little bit of trouble, Cal 4-Wheel. So what's going on is the safety training originally started with no mandate for street legal vehicles to be included in the training. It was only green sticker vehicle operators in green sticker areas needed training. Well, there's one of the advocates, kind of like Jeff and myself, who really wanted to have street legal vehicles operating in green sticker areas to also be included in training. This guy was adamant about that. And so State Parks went along with it. We actually had the bill language amended to include that. That happened, I don't know, however many months ago. So I remember that. And like, I personally did not want to include the street legal vehicles in the training. I wanted to cast the net the smallest distance necessary to include the problem vehicles. In fact, when this whole thing came out, I suggested we only apply it to side-by-side vehicles because those are the ones that were causing the trouble. Like, we weren't having trouble with four-wheel drives, mm-hmm. with motorcycles, with ATVs. There was just a lot of trouble with these side-by-sides. And a number of people, like in state parks, they said, well, no, that won't be fair. We need to do all the green sticker vehicles.
Well, technically, you could have a camp with a Jeep and a side-by-side, a motorcycle, a quad, you know, the whole gamut. And then, hey, can I drive your side-by-side? Mm-hmm. And then there's where you're...
You would have issues. So state parks really wanted it to be fair across the board. And then Amy Granite said to Ed, you know, motorcycles aren't causing the problem, but they could be the victim of a problem.
Easily.
And they could learn something from this training. So I capitulated, like, okay, that's fine. So we have all So when the bill was crafted, it was about all green sticker vehicle operators would get training. All right. And then this other guy said, well, we think anybody operating in a green sticker area should have training. And that would include street legal. So right now there's controversy.
I could see where there'd be controversy. I personally believe in the safety bill and what it's going to do. But when you talk about street legal vehicles, now you're starting to get big government into your business. And that's where I don't like it. You know, I'm already qualified to drive to the desert hundreds of miles. To the forest, wherever I go, and now you're going to tell me I need a safety certificate to drive on the off-road. Just having friends in the industry where you go out in groups will teach you how to drive out there, and it's something that you got to do. You got to keep, you know, with groups unless you're...
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, in my personal opinion, I know we got to... We actually have to crawl before we can walk, before we can run.
That's a good one.
If you buy a side-by-side, you have to take a course. It's part of owning.
So you're suggesting that's how it should be?
Absolutely.
Because it's not like that now.
No. Okay. That's why I prefaced with, we crawl, we walk, we run. But the end result should be, if I buy a side-by-side, then I should take the course. You know, I mean.
Okay. What if you buy a used dirt bike?
If you buy a used dirt bike, then when you go to register it.
A young man wants to go ride bought a dirt bike and go riding. Does he need to have training?
Well,
mandatory training?
Of course. But you're going to register your bike, right? You are going to register. I mean, you're going
to. Of course, yeah. You need to register your bike.
So when you register it, one of the things that you have to do, you have to have insurance, especially if you're financing it, because a finance company won't finance it unless you insure it.
So off-road motorcycles or off-road vehicles do not require insurance.
Well, they may not require, but
it's not legally required.
But wouldn't you be happy to have it? When you your new dirt bike and you run it into a ditch.
I've done it.
You've been there, done it. Wouldn't it be nice to spend $100 on a deductible, send it to the bike shop, and get it back, you know, in good condition?
I've never insured a dirt bike. No,
I understand.
I've had a lot of dirt bikes over a lot of years.
And you spend a lot of money fixing
and
a
I
lot
fix
of dirt
them,
bikes.
And it's like the damage is usually my fault and like, okay, and it's not that expensive. It's not like you roll over one of these side-by-sides. Like it could be a lot of money,
okay,
a lot of trouble.
Let's go one step farther.
So that's a different
animal. Let's say
you
hit somebody, another rider, or hit a side-by-side, and you injure that person. And you now are going to be responsible for that.
Well, that's a different animal.
But
that's liability. So there's liability, and then there's...
I get it. All I'm saying is, if it wouldn't... I mean, yeah, we're going to have the naysayers. You're going to have the people saying, I don't want to do it. I don't want to take it. Sitting here as we speak, as much as he's ridden. But safety, you know, and like I said, you can't make it $300 or $500. It's got to be... Mm-hmm. $50 or something like that, and if you're buying a new one, roll it into the price of the vehicle.
Yeah, the training is going to be cheaper than that.
Right.
It's going to be like $25 or $30.
I would throw it into if you buy a brand new one, it's in the price of the unit.
So Dave, and
let's take a break.
Let's rake this over more when we come back.
I think we should. SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to SDRC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by S&S Off-Road Magazine. Boy, I tell you, if you're going to buy an off-road vehicle of any kind, you need to subscribe to S&S Off-Road Magazine. It's informative. It'll tell you what's going on in the desert, has race updates,
Ed does a little column once a month. They have classifieds. It used to be a hardcore magazine. Now it's online, and you got hundreds and hundreds of pages to look at. So check these guys out, www.ssormag.com. Wayne Miller Tire, there's another one. They started off just doing big tires, little tires, everything from a go-kart all the way up to a semi. Well, now they're doing general repair as well. They got tow trucks for road service. They can do it all, 619-596-2800. Check these guys out and thank them for being part of STORC Dirt Radio. All right, we've been sort of talking about safety classes, and it's like anything. You know, nobody wants it until they need it. Or, and education is everything. I mean, it'd be nice. Nobody wants to get stuck. Nobody wants to roll over. Nobody wants to, you know, get themselves in a situation they don't want to be in. But safety, you're going to learn something from it.
So, Dave, I want to get your opinion.
Sure.
I have possibly a different opinion. I don't think that street legal vehicles should be required to have safety training when operating in a green sticker area. I believe that they have already taken a test, right? They've taken a driving training test to become a car driver. They have insurance. And in our world, our experiences, they're not causing a problem.
So, with that being said, I've been driving longer than most cars have been around. I decide to go buy a Jeep.
Right.
I send it and over and I get it lifted. I put 35s on it or 37s. I put lockers on it. And now I'm going to take it out and I'm going to go off-roading. So my little DMV driving test is, how is that going to affect my ability not to roll over in a ditch? So there is a little bit of difference there. Now, a bone stock Jeep, I agree. Still can get in trouble. Still can get in trouble. That's why I mentioned that at the Lost Lizard Fun Run in November, there'll be an opportunity for you to talk to seasoned off-roaders, you know, that have been doing this for as long as the lizard has been running around out there. So it's a gray line, you know, and street cars don't subscribe to the green sticker program. I mean, you don't have a green sticker on your...
Okay, Dave, that's true. However, the green sticker pot of money is about 3/4 funded from fuel tax. And so if you're driving a vehicle, a gas-burning vehicle off-road, you bought gas, you're right. Paying into the fund.
Right.
So the Jeep doesn't have a green sticker,
correct.
But it is burning fuel.
Right.
So they have contributed that way.
But
So the controversy now is that... the bill was amended to include street legal vehicles, and the organizations like SDORC, these other couple of organizations, Cal 4-Wheel and Corva, are getting a lot of pushback from the four-wheel drive community.
Right.
They're getting a lot of pushback, and I'm not sure how this is going to play out. The bill could get amended again to pull that out, or they could just sort of stand tough and say, we're going to take the heat. And we're going to keep this requirement of street legal vehicles to get the training.
Okay. So let me throw this at you. What about if you've been off-roading for 5 years? Then you're grandfathered in, and you don't need to go get the safety class. I'm more concerned about people today, tomorrow, and next week that are going to go buy a vehicle and have never been in one, or have never driven one, have never experienced them.
Dave, that's a great idea. It's a great point. And it's very hard to administer that.
Like, true.
How do you know when somebody's, and like, okay, I bought a green sticker vehicle 5 years ago, but I only used it twice.
Or you hadn't used it at all yet.
so there's like a real thing. And you brought up another point, Dave, that is very important. And it's very difficult. You said, like, to put it into the registration. Mm-hmm. So you go to the DMV and you want to get your sticker. You need to show that you've had training, like they do in Arizona, by the way. They have. So I brought that up months ago when we were planning the legislation, and I got shot down. And the reason I got shot down
that's the question.
Is because the California Department of Motor Vehicles has essentially gone rogue. They are very difficult to deal with. Even legislators have trouble with the DMV. And the DMV says, well, yeah, either we can't do that, or they say, we can do it, but it's going to cost $10 million.
Right. And I can tell you right now, when was the last time you went down and took your driver's test?
Last February.
Okay. You walked in. There's a bank of computers. You walk over. You click off-road safety class. Has 10 questions. That's $10 billion. It's just an added program because you got your normal motorcycle license. You've got your street license, Class C. Then you got, you know. So I'm just saying, when they say it's costing billions of dollars.
Dave, I very much appreciate what you're saying. Now, state parks will operate a database, and they're going to run the training, right? So there'll be a list of people who've passed it. It would be very straightforward for the DMV. Oh, you're getting a green sticker. Okay, cross-reference this list. And they could get one of their programmers to sort this out in probably a week or two.
If that.
Right, if that. And how much would that cost? Like $10,000, $20,000? Well, we tried to do this a few years ago with something else, something similar, and the DMV came out with just an outrageous quote.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bottom...
Just outrageous.
You started the conversation with the correct analogy. They've gone rogue. They don't want to do anything more than what they have to do. When you sit in there and watch those people, I'm just saying, they are not enthusiastic about getting you in and getting you out.
When I was in there in February getting my license, my observation at that time was that the people behind the desk working were working, doing a good job. Sure. They were efficient. They were trying to get people through.
Yeah.
I noticed about one-third of the, maybe one-half of the booths were empty. They were not fully staffed.
Well, that's the problem.
And that's a big problem. Yeah. Like, why aren't they fully staffed? They're one of the few government agencies that brings in a lot of money.
Okay, let me throw another one. Social Security. I told you I had this little money problem. So I had to cancel all my accounts.
Including the one that Social Security goes into?
So I went down to the office. Do you have an appointment? I go, no, it just happened. And I need to give you some more. I just need to give you my correct banking information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you can make an appointment. I go, okay, well, when's the appointment? August. Well,
right, and that was May.
What's going to happen with June, July? That'll just go into holding, and then you'll have to apply to get it removed. I go, seriously? Oh, all right, we'll let you go. I walk in.
I don't have an app.
I walked in on a computer, sat down, and 30 minutes later, I walk up. I gave the lady the information. Thank you very much. Have a nice day, and I left. Wait a minute. I thought you said I was going to be here 10 hours, 12 hours, and you close at 4. You know, that's why I'm saying, where's that customer service?
These agencies have gone rogue. And I'm not blaming the person at the counter, but there's people behind them in the offices and in Sacramento, and they're not trying to do the best job they can for the citizens. Right. For
but
the
I haven't told you
state.
About the customers that were in there. Why do I got to do this? I don't want to do that. I want my check. I got to make my house payment. No, I'm not going over there and push buttons. No, I don't have an appointment. I want my money. So I give them credit.
They get it from both sides. Right. They get nice people like you coming in, and then they get these other people.
The only reason I got in is I was very kind. I didn't pull the radio card. I didn't pull the KUSI card.
You know who I am?
You know who I am?
I've done that one time, and I'll never, ever, 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 ever do that again. But, you know, you get a lot farther with sugar than you do with vinegar.
Absolutely.
But, what I don't want to see happen, but I'm glad it's moving. We're walking before we are.
The bill's moving.
Right, because if we're not moving anything, then that's the problem. Because, a lot of people like to talk, and nothing ever gets done.
It is going through, but I like to mention that the safety bill will not be required to be shown unless you get pulled over for doing something foolish.
Right.
And just like getting here today, I forgot my wallet. I drove here without a license, but I didn't get caught because I didn't do anything dumb. I went to the speed limit, and I didn't do anything.
And he's driving a... And the license number is, if somebody's out there trying to make a quota.
And the second thing is there's no guarantee of safety.
No, none.
As soon as you leave your house, there is no guarantee of safety. And the risk of off-roading, no matter if you're a motorcycle or a four-wheel drive vehicle or a side-by-side, there's risks. And that's
all
what the safety bill is all about in the classes. And you don't have to do it if you are a licensed vehicle. I believe that's how it should be.
Right.
But you still can. You can still take
See,
it.
See, I think, take kids. I would take kids and say, look, you're a child. You're 12 years old. You know, there should be like a, just say, hey, here's some of the things you need to know about off-roading. So.
Absolutely. That was a great point, is that just because you don't have to take the training, you can still take it.
Well,
it's
perfectly
legal, and it's right there. It doesn't take long. You could learn something.
For some reason, every time I drive down I-8 in El Cajon and a plane flies over, one of these little planes going to Gillespie, I know it's going to land on me. it's just a matter of time. It's going to nosedive, and I'm going to have to play bumper cars out on the 8 because some guy can't fly.
Well, as soon as they get closer, you put your hand out that window. Don't you know who I am?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Let's take a quick break. This is SDRC Dirt Radio FM, 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Lifestyle Garage over in Lakeside right off Winter Gardens. You can't miss it. You can call them at 619-499-5323. They are the type of folks that will work on Jeeps, Toyotas, Chevys, Rams, Fords, Toyotas, you name it, they do it. They also do full service. They have a fleet department as well. But what I like about Tony and his gang, everybody in the family has an off-road vehicle, and when they get one, the first thing they do is start taking it apart and putting products that they sell on that vehicle so they can talk to you about if you're looking for suspension or tires or what have you. They can talk to you about it because they've got it on their vehicle. Give them a call, 619-499-5323. And Motor World of El Cajon, Glenn, his family do such a great job. 315 North Magnolia in El Cajon, 619-442-0941. I was over there yesterday, Saturday, and I thought, you know, I'm going to take a walk through the parts department. Oh, my God, they have big bins of discount T-shirts, baseball hats, and then anything that you need for side-by-sides, motorcycles, Troy Lee, just to name a few. They got a whole wall of really nice custom T-shirts, but anything you need to keep your vehicles. I have a Honda side-by-side myself. Anything and everything I need. Parts guys are extremely knowledgeable. So are sales. They've got every kind of motorcycle known to man. They have generators. They've got watercraft. They've got great outdoor vehicles and trailers. You really need to stop by if you're shopping. That would be the place to go. 619-442-0941. They're closed today because they're out riding around in the desert. All right, so we're going to get back to our good buddy Ed and Jeff. We're going to talk more about the Lost Lizard Fun Run. So I'm going to run downstairs and grab a guest. You start from the top to the bottom and tell the folks what they're going to see.
You got it. The Fun Run's going to be November 7th. It's actually technically the 6th and the 7th because we start with pre-entries and sell the entries for the next day, the Lost Lizard Fun Run. So we have 7 checkpoints, 1 road crossover, and right now we have 9 different games that are going to get played. We're looking for a few more, and we hope to see you out there. Ed, what do you got with Oceana?
So Oceana Dunes, otherwise known as Pismo Beach, the only place in California where you can drive a vehicle on the beach, was closed to off-roading a couple months ago, I think in April, due to a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Well, that lawsuit has been resolved, and as of a few weeks ago, Oceana Dunes is open for off-road vehicle use. We're very happy about that. And
I'm sure that
I was worried about it could go south and just stay closed. And it has to do with endangered species and a habitat conservation plan, and that plan would authorize an incidental take permit. So they got their incidental take permit, and they're allowed to go off-roading again. So we sort of ducked a bullet there. I talked to Jim Sudi, the president of Friends of Oceano Dunes, on Friday, and he explained it. So we're happy about that. I still am wanting to go out there and just ride around.
Have you been there yet?
I've been on the beach a couple times, but I've never been in the sand dunes.
Yes, it's pretty limited now. We were there, I want to say, 3 years ago. I actually camped in a U-Haul. That way,
nice.
I'd stay from the wind. But
your standard camping vehicle.
Yes, my standard camping vehicle from remote places. But it was super nice area. But I mean, you look down the beach and you could see the bathrooms, you know, every half mile or so, and you can't go down there. So even though it's opened and there is still some,
you have to walk. Yeah,
you have to walk that distance. It's still very restrictive, but they do have a lot of camping, and they give like 200 permits per day.
I don't think it costs very much to camp there.
No, I don't think it costs
$5 or $10 or something.
But it's pretty casual, and it's got a little an area you can play by the ocean. But it was an experience. Little wet sand, not my favorite, but
no,
I did it, and I can say I did it.
So there's something else going on that I want to talk about over at Glamis, over at the Imperial Sand Dunes on the north side of the OHV area. A company called Polaris, the people that make razors and other off-road vehicles.
Good company.
They own a lot of property. There's private property right around the Highway 78. In fact, their property goes on both sides of 78. And they own the storage place, they own the store, and they own the property behind the store. So they want to do a development out there. And it turns out there's a lot more going on within their development than I had realized what they want to do. So I got a quick list from the environmental document of stuff they want to do. So recreation, they want to include an adventure center for off-road vehicle training, rentals, amusement facility, desert tours. Here's a funny one, a racetrack. I don't know what they mean by that. A shooting range, a park, playground, picnic area. They're talking about commercial retail, like a gas station, a rental facility, sporting goods store, talking about storage, both off-road vehicle and RVs, and then entertainment, like an obstacle course, fireworks display area, and again, a racetrack. Hospitality. Now, they made a mistake here, which I thought was interesting, and that's going to have to be in my comments. They said, with an annual attendance of 200,000 visitors to the Glamis area, hospitality land should include medical services, mobile food trucks, tourist information, public showers and restrooms, and hotel motel. Well, they said 200,000 visitors. Glamis, the Imperial Sand Dunes, actually gets closer to 1 million visits a year. And that can vary from year to year, but they're, you know, the 900
their holiday weekends 1.1 busy.
So just Thanksgiving they get about 200,000 visitors. So that's a little bit off. Residential, they want to put in some temporary housing, like for guests and employees, seasonal. They want to do some renewable energy, like solar generation, including battery storage. They want to do some infrastructure work. Water and wastewater. Let's see, utility buildings, utility substation, and water treatment. And then a research and development facility. So Polaris, they make off-road vehicles, and they would like to be able to test them in the area where they're going to be used. So they would like to put in a research and development facility so that they could test their stuff in a private and a public setting. So this is all the stuff that they want to do in there.
What do you think about all that?
So my general thought of the desert is when I go to the desert, I want to go to a place that has no human stuff there. No human, no signs, no kiosks, no buildings. I just want virgin desert, and I want to ride my motorcycle in it. So this is sort of the opposite of that. But I also have a soft spot for private property rights. Like, if you own private property, you should be able to do stuff on it. Now, there's such a thing as zoning, right? So in zoning, you can do certain things and you can't do other things. So I live in a neighborhood in a house, and it's zoned for living. So that means my neighbor can't do concrete destruction. Like, they can't make a lot of noise.
Exactly.
Right. So we have this zoning. And so I guess we should decide, is this type of development in that area appropriate? And I'm not really sure.
I think that it's the wave of the future. I'm with you. The desert I go to is pretty much barren. But down there in the sand dunes, there's a limited amount of area. I think most of the sand dunes are closed, aren't they?
No, a lot of
north side.
Well, so north of 78 is all closed until you get way up to Mammoth Wash. There's an open area way up there, and you can drive there on the east side through. There's a road.
But when you talk about the future, you have a lot more off-road vehicles than you used to, and they like to have facilities.
Well, the store is already there, and the vendor row is already there, so adding some stuff behind it wouldn't be such a big impact. So we're talking over at the Imperial Sand Dunes in mm-hmm. the north. Polaris owns about 150 acres, I think, and they want to do a lot of development.
That's
they got
good.
All this stuff they want to put in.
That's great.
So
and that like a class, too, a safety class.
There you go.
They should. That's not in their document.
You ought to call them up and say, hey,
so,
a little positive there.
Their document is out for public comment. Like, there's one glaring error I noticed that they says, with an annual attendance of 200,000 visitors to the Glamis area, blah, blah, blah. Well, they get closer to 1 million visits.
Right.
They get 200,000 visits on Thanksgiving weekend.
See, they got insurance companies looking at that saying, oh, my God, oh, that's going to cost.
We got to
tap that.
So that's a good point. So this is open for public comment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be preparing comments.
A little safety class in there.
Include safety training. Because we just talked about safety training.
I know we did. And that could be open to any of the manufacturers that would like to come out.
Oh, I don't know. But now you're making trouble, Dave.
I know.
Because Polaris is one of those companies.
I know. But that's because it's over. That's STORC. Make sure you mark your calendar. Go to STORC.com. Check them out. Go to their meetings. And we'll see you November 7th.
Yes, November 7th, and at our monthly meetings, the first Monday at Ranch House Restaurant.
All right.
6:30.
...that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.